Our hope is in Jesus and in Jesus alone, and he can be found. A couple things before we get into the word today. Had a couple people just ask as far as with some have said there's still COVID in the nation. Shouldn't we be closing down and shutting down connection groups or something? Thankfully, here at Miracle Life, the person in charge of Zambia's response to COVID is in our church. So we get really, really wise advice from a medical point of view. And right now, the consensus is that that is not necessary to close schools or to close churches, that we can be around each other, that there has been widespread exposure either through 80% are vaccinated or through just exposure. My wife and I had COVID, vaccinated and had COVID in January, that those who think about those things believe that we are safe. And it would seem that that's backed up as far as that very, very few COVID patients are becoming serious, where there's no one being admitted right now. We hope that's the case. So that's a public service announcement for that. And there was another public service announcement. Oh, yes. Thanks to everybody who has updated your membership information. If you haven't done that, and you can do that on the website or on the app, please, please do that. It will help us so much. But if you need some help as far as tech things, please note next week at church, be ready. We'll have a paper form that you can fill out if that works better for you. That everybody over the age of 60. Okay. And that's okay. You are awesome as well. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. On your way, turning there. It's good to be back in Zambia. I was in Kinshasa this whole last week. And 15 million people in one city, largest French-speaking city in the world. If you've never been there, I really can't describe it. It is awesome, but it's like a whole other place, I'm telling you. Great people, great food. The Independence Day was on Friday night. There were some churches that got together right outside of Parliament. We had wonderful prayer and praise. It was a great, great time together. And I spoke at Rhema Kinshasa for a whole week on pastoral ministry. So you helped me come up with the sermon of pastoral ministry. All right. So we have been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And it is very much different issues that were in Corinth that Paul was addressing. And as we walk through these, we realize, wow, they still exist today. These are issues that we face. They're issues that are relevant in our church. And so thank God we're going to start here in chapter 12 where he makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 12, 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts. So he kind of starts a lot of sections that way. And not sure so much if it was questions or things that Paul was aware of that was in the church in Corinth. And so we're going to learn some wonderful things about spiritual gifts today so that we can put it into practice. This is not a theological class where there's an exam. This is life. And so God gives gifts to each one of us so that we can use them to bless each other. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Meaning, you could be. And that's not the will of God. That's not the plan of God. The Message Bible puts it this way. I want you to be informed and knowledgeable about spiritual gifts. Informed and knowledgeable. Now, back in Paul's introduction that we saw back in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1, 7, Paul said this, therefore, you do not lack in any spiritual gift. So that, how many of that is an amazing commendation, isn't it? And I don't think God could say that about every church in the world. And so the fact that he was saying it about this church is, that's amazing and it's special. Now, next week we're going to see some things from chapter 14 where, yes, there were some spiritual gifts that were being exercised, but we can see there was some misunderstanding. There was some misuse. And so God wants everything he gives, he wants it to be used well. And the last couple of weeks we looked at marriage and sexuality and those things. Those are things he gave us. Why? So they can be used well under him and under his ways. All right? So someone who is unknowledgeable or there's a degree of ignorance, we might not use his gifts to the degree that he wants them to be used. All right? And just because spiritual gifts are being used doesn't mean that there's knowledge, right? How many of you know someone who has a computer or a smartphone, and the smartphone is not being used very smartly, okay? And so I heard somebody said, they just love this new smartphone, and they took all these pictures, and it got full, so they got another one, so they could keep taking pictures, all right? So the smart was not necessarily the phone. There was some smart problems with the user of the smartphone, okay? So thank God for spiritual gifts, but the more we see from God's word, the better we will put them into operation to help others. All right, now, go to verse 4 here, 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. And notice he talks about there are diversities, but there are things that are the same. And he uses the example of the Trinity, the Spirit, the Son, and God the Father. All right, that they have different roles in the body of Christ, but God is one and is united. So God gives gifts. There are differences in the way he's going to use us, and those differences are by design, okay? So we're going to look at these gifts, understand them, so that we can put them to use. Now, one other thing Paul does, before he explains it, he gives us a mission statement. A mission statement. Why does God give spiritual gifts? Now, at Miracle Life and among all of our kind of charismatic and Pentecostal brothers and sisters around the world, these gifts that are listed, we believe these are supernatural ways that God manifests himself through people. All right, these are supernatural. So when it talks about the word of wisdom, that's not just your brother-in-law who's very wise. Okay, there is a wisdom part of God, and thank God for the book of Proverbs, and he gives wisdom. But a word of wisdom is from the mind of God about something in the future. Right? These are supernatural manifestations. Why are they given? Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. All right, so this is when the Holy Spirit manifests himself through us in these nine gifts, is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. So the manifestation of the Spirit in a person's life is not for them, it's to benefit someone else. I like the way the New Living Translation says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So we can help each other. And I believe that's why in Paul's discussion of spiritual gifts, chapter 12, 13, and 14, he puts love right in the center. We call it the love chapter, but it's in the context of spiritual gifts, and it's not a mistake. Because our heart to be used by God with spiritual gifts should be that of compassion. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about if you have some of these gifts, but it's not out of love, you're just like a gong. You're like a clanging cymbal. Calling attention to yourself, that's not a blessing, is it? You're not helping anyone. So at the heart of all of our discussion of spiritual gifts is a heart and a prayer, God, use me. God, manifest your spirit in supernatural ways to help and bless other people. I think all of us who are Christians, we have had times in our life where there is love and there is compassion, but our natural human ability is limited. And see, the manifestation of the Spirit goes beyond human ability. It's the power of God, the life of God, that comes from a heart of love. And I really believe this, that there are folks in here today that you've been seeking, God, use my life more. God, I want to help other people. And for some of you, begin to, what Paul tells us, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And step out in faith and let God use you. On the other hand, there's some folks that maybe there's this love of God and you care for people, but you say, well, I don't want to be weird. Amen. Then don't be weird. Okay? Don't be weird. All right? When we're going to see prophecy is that which exhorts, it edifies, it comforts. All right? And how many of you know you don't have to start every prophecy with, ye, yay, my little child. Okay? There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Okay? Right? You don't have to prophesy in King James 1611 English that doesn't exist today. Right? So, spiritual gift is given to each one of us. Why? What is God's purpose? To help each other. To help each other. And we're going to help each other better when we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost. When we yield ourselves to allow these spiritual gifts to be used. So, what that means is that if God distributes and gives, the Holy Spirit manifests himself, it's not for our ego. Okay? In fact, if no one ever knows about it, fine. I'm just glad somebody got blessed. All right? It's not for ego. It's not for entertainment. Okay? Entertainment is entertainment. Okay? My wife's getting some medical checkups last night, so I got some food and sat down and watched a dinosaur movie. Just entertainment. It's Jurassic Park. I can't get track. I can't figure out all these things. But anyway, dinosaur movies. Cool. I love dinosaurs. That's entertainment. Spiritual gifts are not for entertainment. You don't get out popcorn and soda and say, hey, let's watch the spiritual gift channel. Whoa, that's a spiritual gift. I'll give it an 8 out of 10. Yeah. Good for style because they really, they moved well, you know. No. Spiritual gifts are not for entertainment. They're to bless people, okay? And they're also not to make people think that you're legit, that you've got the power or you're better than somebody else. That is not, and see, all of those things actually will stymie and hinder spiritual gifts from operating, okay? So, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, so while these Corinthians were operating in spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I have to speak to you because you're carnal. You're carnal. So is it possible to be using spiritual gifts and yet carnal? It is. And really, at the center of carnality is selfishness, isn't it? All right, so I hope today we'll not only understand spiritual gifts, but we'll tweak our motives and we'll align our heart with God's heart, and that's to bless and help other people. All right? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. All right? And so at the heart of a child is selfishness, me, what I want. All right? And so childishness and immaturity is not a good mix for spiritual gifts. So let's grow in our love for others and grow in our understanding of how to walk in these wonderful, wonderful gifts. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:31. And so kind of as he's going to discuss a number of things in chapter 12. In verse 31 he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I will show you a more excellent way. And the excellent way he describes in chapter 13 is love. So earnestly desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? All right. Now, if you were at a party or a Christmas party and somebody had put out five gifts and they were unwrapped and they said, you know, pick out the best one for yourself, you're going to be thinking about those five gifts based on, what do I want? What do I need? What's going to be best for me, right? So if we think about best gifts, we sometimes automatically think, you know, oh, that's got to be the working of miracles because I'll look so cool when I do it, all right? Wait a second. Well, what's the purpose statement of spiritual gifts? So we can bless each other. So if I'm praying for the best gifts, Father, manifest your best gifts in our connection group. Why? To bless others. Father, in this time together, Lord, as we get ready for Merge Epic, Lord, we earnestly desire the best gifts. Why? To bless other people. Okay? So, a word of wisdom, and we'll explain that. Word of wisdom is about the future, right? It's about the future. So if there's a decision you're making and you're unsettled and you're unsure about something, a word of wisdom would be best, wouldn't it? Because God will give you a glimpse about something that's in His mind that you don't know, right? And maybe somebody gives you a word of knowledge and they tell you your address. Thank you, but that's not the best, is it? Because that didn't help me make a decision about the future. So the best gift is whatever is needed at the moment. Did you hear that? The best gift is whatever is needed at the moment that will help fulfill a need in somebody's life, that will bless someone else. Amen? So if someone is facing an incurable disease, thank God for gifts of healing. Thank God for workings of miracle. Amen? Miracles. So if that's what is needed, I don't think it's going to help them to know that, you know, the score of the next Chipotle Polo game. That's not best because it's not meeting a need. Do you see that? Okay, so let's get into these gifts and let's read them and we'll so that we can understand them. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit, one Holy Ghost, works in all things, distributing to each one individually as who wills? He wills. So our heart is to desire. Lord, I desire spiritual gifts in my life, in my church, in my home. Now, the Holy Spirit distributes as He wills. All right? So if I'm earnestly desiring the best gifts, and then God is using my wife in those gifts, that's okay. All right? Because I've seen that, especially in the last 5 to 10 years. God's using my wife and our family and other, and where, wow, goodness, God is really showing her, especially in the word of knowledge. All right? So that's, it doesn't have to come through me. Because I'm earnestly desiring that God would work in our midst. Amen. All right, so let's look at these. This is helpful, and this is just to kind of help us understand these. Is in the nine gifts, we can categorize them in three groups. The revelational gifts, because they reveal something, all right? The revelational gifts, the gifts of power, because God's power is on display and something gets done, you could say, or the utterance gifts, because something is said people are being helped to say something by the Spirit of God. So revelational gifts, all right? So these would be in three areas: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. So the word of wisdom, and this would be consistent with, again, Assemblies of God, our Pentecostal brothers and sisters for decades and decades, different ones who have studied this. These definitions are very, very good and biblical. Word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit about certain facts about the future that are in the mind of God. Word of wisdom is about the future. So the Bible says God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. And I don't exactly know how he has all knowledge, but he has all knowledge. All right. And so a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge is just that. It's a word. So it's a partial glimpse about something that's in God's mind that he wants to help you, to inform you. All right. So when Paul, we see an example of this about the future. Paul, before he went to Rome, and he was with the group of believers, and the prophet Agabus took his belt, and it was kind of a sign to say, this man, the one who has this belt, is going to go bound to Jerusalem. That trial and persecutions await you. And you remember what Paul said? He said, the Holy Spirit testifies of that in every city. God keeps saying that over and over again through other sources, that this is coming. It's coming. All right. Now, one of the things we see about the word of wisdom in the Bible is it has to do with kingdom stuff. It has to do with your spiritual life. Okay? And so a word of wisdom about AFCON games is not biblical. Okay, for the profit of all, for the benefit, to bless, to help. Does it bless anybody? Doesn't help anybody? God is not helping you to go to Bolabet. All right? And if you would have gone to Bolabet listening to this so-called prophet from Zambia in the last AFCON, you would have been out a lot of money because he said he went in the spirit and saw Egypt rejoicing. You put down 5,000 kwacha on Egypt, and then, and he says, I don't owe you an apology. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Okay, so we just need to discard that. We just need to say, okay, sadly, these are people who don't understand the Bible very well, okay? And we don't need to attack them or, you know, get into Facebook arguments or whatever. But at the same time, we have to say that's not biblical. That's not helpful. And the Lord has helped my wife and I for about 2 years before we pastored at Miracle Life. For about 2 years, different people, it kind of felt like Paul, that the Holy Spirit testifies, as we would meet different people would just kind of say, you know, I just have this sense, are you going to pastor soon? Are you going to be pastoring soon? What was that? Word of wisdom about the future. Now, God had been dealing with us, and so a word of wisdom is a wonderful way to help confirm things. Confirm things. So we are led by the Spirit of God. The word of wisdom confirms. If somebody gives you a word of wisdom and says, I see you living in Beijing, and you've never sensed that from the Lord, throw it away. Okay? Because I would have known that by now. Okay. So word of wisdom is a wonderful way that helps confirm things. Word of knowledge is supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit about certain facts in the mind of God right now. Okay, so it's not about the future, but it's about something right now. You may have seen, and this happened just recently at Miracle Life, when Reverend Kirk Dubois was here, God began to show him different people that God wanted to be healed of certain things. And he would say, there's somebody with a back problem or a certain person with a heart problem. Well, how many of you know God knows that, doesn't he? God knows that, and he gives a word, and he makes that known to somebody to help someone. All right? And this word is meant to bless someone. All right? We see that when Jesus gave revelation to John in the Bible, he was speaking about the seven churches in Asia. And it was about things in those churches. God knew it, and he revealed it by his Spirit to John. Okay? So this is not a gift of knowledge. Again, if you're a professor, awesome and amazing what you've done, all right? And if you have an earned PhD, I mean, that's just amazing. And so you have a very sharp mind and you've used that, well done. That doesn't mean you have a word of knowledge, okay? You might, okay? But this is supernatural insight into the mind of God. A word of knowledge is really, really useful to have in business, in decision making. As you pray and you talk to the Lord and you just have a sense, this is wrong. This is wrong. I'm not talking about the gift of suspicion, okay, or you just think somebody looked at you wrong, all right, but that God shows you this is a problem. Don't do that. Okay? There's something wrong with my boyfriend. Okay? Now, how many of you don't need a word of knowledge to use your eyes to realize he's a drunk and he's a cheat and he's a liar? I don't need a word of knowledge to confirm what I can see with my eyes. Okay? Amen? You don't need a word of knowledge. Just you've got all the knowledge that you need. Okay. And then another, the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. So this is insight into the spiritual realm of what God is doing, especially in the area of angels and demons. All right. So Jesus knew there were times in his ministry where he was ministering to the sick. And then there were times in his ministry where he realized by the Spirit of God that there is demonic influence that is behind this sickness. Now, it wasn't all of them, but it was some of them. Paul the Apostle, there was somebody, if you remember, they would harass him and they'd call out, and he realized the discerning of spirits at a time, he realized there's a demon behind this. Now, I had the opposite of this a few years ago. It was we usually don't minister to people who are not members of Miracle Life, but this case I felt was an exception. And somebody said, you know, this lady has just been demonized for so long, and she's had all these people, and they listed all these wonderful men and women of God that pray for her. She just can't seem to get rid of this demon. And so we were chatting, and I was kind of praying and seeking to the Holy Spirit. And the discerning of spirits was, there's no demon here. There's no demon here, all right? And as we were talking, then she started acting as if like something you'd see in a movie, right, of some type of demonic manifestation. And the Holy Spirit said, tell her to stop, but don't use my name. I said, ma'am, I need you to calm down. Ma'am, just go ahead and calm down. And she did. She just stopped. I said, you don't have a demon. Because I didn't use the name of Jesus. You can't just stop a demon. I can't stop it. It just stopped because I asked you to. Right? And then we did some counseling. She was an attention seeker, and she really she was a sweet person, and I hope we helped her. Okay, but see, the discerning of spirits is just that, because I don't know, just with my eyes or whatever, and just because someone's rolling, okay. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't know, right? The discerning of spirits. There's been times where my wife and I were in prayer about certain things and certain things that were, just you could say problems that were just kind of stuck. And we realized, you know what, there's some demon spirits behind this problem. And so we prayed, we took authority over it in Jesus' name. All right? How? Through the discerning of spirits. All right? The power gifts do something. The working of miracles. A supernatural intervention in the course of nature by the Spirit of God. Okay, so this is not like a miracle goal. Okay, you know, in the World Cup final, Mbappe has a miracle goal at the end of the... No, that's not a miracle. Okay, it would be a miracle if I shot the goal. Okay, so these are things where the laws of nature are suspended. Manna from heaven comes down and people eat it. I mean, that's a miracle. The children of Israel walk on the Red Sea on dry ground, and then it's closed up, and Pharaoh's army. That is a miracle. Jesus walked on the water. Okay, now, please hear me. The miracles of the Bible are functional. There was something that, again, the gifts of the Spirit are distributed. Why? To bless other people. Okay? When someone walks on the air and makes a video of it, they weren't walking on the air. There was no function. It was not helpful. All right, the children of Israel had a miracle to get across the Red Sea because they needed to get across the Red Sea. Okay? Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes because people needed to eat. All right? So miracles are not for show. They're for a blessing. Okay? So if you fill up your car with petrol, you won't need a miracle to get fuel in your car. Okay. All right. Thank God for miracles. And if we don't have miracles, then we have no Bible. The whole Bible is just, it's one miracle from one end to the other. All right. The gift of faith. Now, we know natural human faith comes by hearing God's word, doesn't it? Hearing God's word, a heart is convinced. But a gift of faith, and I like the way this is described. It's supernatural faith for a believer in a moment to receive a miracle or to operate in a miracle. And you could say it bypasses our whatever our heart is established in. I had this happen in my life where praying for a situation, someone was near the point of death, and typically, you know, hooking up and praying with other people, trusting the Lord, we look to the Lord for that. But in this situation, I sensed that, man, there's just not any faith here today. And so I actually went into the corner, because I didn't want this person to die, and I said, Lord, I earnestly desire the best gifts. Lord, I earnestly desire the best gifts. Because if it's just left to the people in this room to trust you, it's not going to happen. Okay? And so when I walked back, there was something that came on me. And Brother Hagin described it this way. You couldn't not believe if you tried to. Okay. And commanded life and they rose up and they're alive today, 16 years later. All right. Doing well. All right. I heard a testimony of Francis Chan, who went to a seminary that didn't believe in miracles. not just didn't believe in miracles, they preached against them. Okay, and he and his wife went on a mission trip in a rural part of Asia, and so he wasn't necessarily accustomed to miracles, but people started coming from the bush and from villages in the jungle to, and they were sick. And he thought, I can't turn people away. And so they would come. And he says, as I began to pray for them, something came on me. He said, like a supernatural faith. So he never went to Rhema to hear about these gifts. But what happened to him is exactly the gift of faith. And he said, every single person I prayed for received healing. A supernatural endowment. Okay? Just amazing, amazing. The gift of faith. Gifts of healing, supernatural healing of a disease without natural means from any source. And it's amazing how many ways that God heals in the Bible. Believers lay hands on the sick. We can trust 1 Peter 2:24 that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed through the atonement, through redemption. Call for the elders, the pastors. They'll anoint you with oil. Prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. You know, there's so many ways that God heals because obviously he wants us to be healed. So gifts of healings are just that. They're a manifestation in that moment. Many times you see gifts of healing also accompanying with the evangelist's calling and the evangelist's office. And there are times where sometimes an evangelist, God will use them in gifts of healing where a certain type of condition, they see that happening frequently in their ministry. Again, not something that they just turn off or on, but they realize that God typically uses me this way. Evangelist Christopher Alam flows a lot when it comes to deaf ears. Pastor Newberry, blind eyes when he was operating in the office of evangelist. Now, why is that? I have no idea. I don't care. I'm not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And so the Holy Spirit distributes as he wills. As he wills. Amen. Then we have, I don't want to miss anyone here, utterance gifts. And so we're gonna pick this up next week because Paul takes a whole chapter to look at tongues, the public use of tongues, and public interpretation of tongues. All right. And just a spoiler alert. All right. Tongues in our private life bless us. Great benefit to us. Tongues in a public setting with interpretation bless other people. Two uses, two different functions. All right. So that'll just set it up for next week. But let's finish here on prophecy, gift of prophecy. A supernatural utterance in a known tongue. And here is one that he actually gives great definition to in this passage. 1 Corinthians 14:3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So that's the fruit. One of those three, or all of those three. But how does it happen? Okay, it's not this sermon, I sat down and thought and prayed and looked and read the Bible. Okay. But gift of prophecy comes by inspiration. Some of you, and Paul actually said specifically about prophecy, he says, desire that you would prophesy. You may have already had this happen in your life where you're in prayer, you're talking to the Lord, and you just have a sense, I need to call Joe. I need to call Mary. And I just need to share something with them. So we were praying with the team from Congo, and we were having a time of prayer on Friday, and this it just came up in my spirit. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the money. There's much to do, many cities to reach, something along those lines. So that's not about the future, okay? It wasn't a tongue and interpretation. It could have been, but it was a word from the mind of God that exhorted, comforted, and edified. I didn't plan on saying it, but the Holy Spirit led. All right? And so here's some encouragement to you, is that don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to step out. Well, what if I miss it? Well, join the club. All right. But if it's coming from a heart of love, if it's coming to bless people, God will help you and God will teach you. And don't be, even in the New Testament, when there were prophecies and they were judged by others. Okay? And it's okay if it gets judged and it's like, whoa, that was not scriptural. All right, well, at least I know it. I'm not going to be offended. But the Lord wants, I believe, wants to use each and every one of us in greater ways. In greater ways to bless each other. Greater ways to bless each other. Okay? And as a charismatic and Pentecostal for 40 years, 40 straight years, and I was exposed to it for probably 8 years before that, have I seen misuse? Like you cannot believe. I could write an encyclopedia on misuse. Okay. Was there misuse in Corinth? There was. What was Paul's answer to misuse? God's word. God's instruction. It wasn't, and what he said was, don't forbid the speaking of tongues. Don't forbid it. Don't stop it. Don't put a halt to it. Don't say it's not for today. Okay? It is for today. We need the power of God today. Amen? And the power of God, thank God, but it needs to be unleashed in other ways. Many, many of the gifts that were operating in the New Testament church and in the life of Jesus, they happened at ShopRite. They happened walking down the street. All right? God wants the gifts of the Spirit in your house, in your parenting, in the classroom, in connection groups. Amen?